Sisters, it is another good morning to be in God's house. And Brother Danny mentioned there's a lot of trouble out in this world. There's a lot of things to be afraid of, I guess. There's a lot of worry, not just big things, but there's small things we worry about. There's small things we fear. I'm thankful we serve a God that's able to take care of the small and big things this morning, whisper sweet peace and comfort to His children. You know, in this life, there are trouble. God's children need a refuge. For a little while this morning, I want to talk to you about who our refuge is, where our refuge is this morning. And if we can, we're going to get right into it this morning. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 35. Chapter 35, we're going to find that Jacob is afraid. He's fearful. The sons of Jacob have went and destroyed the sons of Shechem for defiling their sister Dinah. And they were sojourning in a land, and Jacob was worried that the inhabitants of that land, after what they had done to the sons of Shechem, would surround about him and slay him for what they had done in vengeance on behalf of their sister Dinah. It says in verse 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Now, to understand what's going on in chapter 35, we're going to have to go to get back to chapter 28 a minute. Where is he going back to? That place where he went when he fled from his brother Esau. Let's turn to chapter 28 in Genesis now. And starting in verse 10. And let's understand what happens here in chapter 28. Jacob's afraid here. Jacob was afraid of his brother Esau. He had robbed him of his birthright and his blessing from his father. Had deceived his father to get it. And out of fear, his mother has sent him to flee. It says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." I don't know how anybody would find rest on a rock. I guess it would depend on the rock. "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Jacob was afraid over in verse 35, in chapter 35. We understand that God has sent Jacob back to that Bethel spot. He sent him back to a place, to a rock, where God's promises were given to him. God has promised him a few things here. God's sending Jacob back to remind him of those promises where he's going to Bethel when he sends him back in chapter 35. In verse 16, it says, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place." He's sending him back to the place that he experienced where the Lord was, where the Lord had been. And he says, "And I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place?" You know, it's a fearful thing to be in the presence of God. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way and that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give thee, me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. God sending him back to a place to remind him of the promises, to remind him of the promises he made to God. I'll tell you something, in this life when we're troubled, Lord, we need to go back to the rock, to the places where the promises were given, where we experienced His grace and His peace. If you're troubled in this life, I want you to know there's a place of refuge that He's left for us on this earth, that the Lord Jesus Christ has set up. And He placed it on a rock. It's based on the rock called Jesus Christ. How do I know He's called a rock? I want you to know the rock of our salvation is Jesus Christ. When He asked Peter over there, He says, brethren, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the very Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus told Peter, He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church, not on Peter, but on the rock, the truth, the rock that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that's where all our faith and hope and strength lie today. It's in the strength and the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came down to this earth. I want you to know He put our sins on Him. And He bore it on that cross. And forever forgot it after He had paid that sin debt. And we are free because of the love of Jesus Christ this morning. And you've got a place of refuge in this life. And if you feel in your seat in that pew this morning, I want you to know you're in a safe place this morning. The world has set up a few safe places, they say out there, but those ain't safe. I want you to know you're in a safe. You found refuge. This is where your strength comes from. Let's now return back to chapter 35. You know, sometimes as children of God, we need to be reminded and reminded again. We need to be called to remembrance over and over because we're imperfect. Oh, how quick we forget the blessings that God has laid at our feet. How often we forget how many trials and tribulations He brought us through. Don't we have a good God? He's always been good to us, and He continually reminds us and is long-suffering with us. So in chapter 35, in verse 1, it says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee, when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. You know, sometimes in life you find, if you just clean some of these old things of this world out of your way, how much better you feel. You know, just from a physical standpoint, you know, when I get home from work, I remember when I used to work at the casino and I'd fry, you know, 800 pounds of shrimp on a Friday night. I would come home smelling like grease. I remember one time I got home, I stepped out and all the neighborhood dogs came up and started licking my feet because I smelled like something good to eat, I guess. But you know what? I would be tired and I would stink. I stunk. But you know, when I clean myself, when I take a shower, oh, I felt a lot better. That works physically. I want you to know that works spiritually. If you're having some trouble in this life, I'm not saying that the trouble you're having is because you're doing something wrong. But I'm just saying sometimes when we're having trouble, sometimes we need to clean off some of this old world. We need to come back to the place that cleanses us, the one that cleanses us. We need to come back and learn of Him. We need to clean some of that old stuff away. You imagine how much better your life will be if God's children would just follow those things that God would have us do. So it says, and be clean and change your garments. Now these brethren here, they had sacked and spoiled the city of Shechem. They had killed all the men of Shechem. They took their wives, they took all their stuff and all that old godly stuff that those Canaanites had and had brought it in with them. But Jacob said, let's get rid of all of that. He says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel. Let's be clean. Let's arise and let's go seek the Lord again. Because I'm fearful. I'm having troubles. We don't know what's going to happen. But we serve a God that does know. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. I want you to know God will answer you in the day of your distress if you seek Him. He says, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities were round about them. They did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, is your fortress. He is your salvation. He is your defense. And they journeyed. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in verse 6, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. And he, all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And on in verse 9 it says, and God appeared unto Jacob again. Jacob has returned to Bethel. Returned to that place where he knew God had been with him. Returned to that place where he made the promise. And it says, God said unto him, he's going to remind him again. He says, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply a nation, and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed and thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel, because that was a place that he surely knew God had been. You know, sometimes in your life, brethren, we need to remember those Bethel spots. If you found a Bethel spot where you felt the presence of God, I want you to know that that's, you need to hold on to those places. You need to go to those places. We need to seek God in the times of trouble. But here again, he reminds Jacob again and reminds him of the promises. So I'm going to give you that land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your nation. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your prosperity. Who's blessing him? God. God is blessing him. God is our strength. God is our rock. He is the rock of our salvation. He is a good friend in time of distress, in time of trouble. He's a friend and a friend indeed. Yes, sir. Jesus is my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus this morning. But we see that in times of trouble and distress, we have a place of refuge. We need to seek the rock. Jacob went back to the rock. He went back to the rock. The rock where his blessings were made known to him. The place where his blessings were given to him. He went back to the rock. Children of God, we need to get back to the rock. If you will, with me now. I'm going to turn to 1 Kings. Chapter 19. And verse 1. Here we find another prophet of God that was troubled and was scared and worried. Chapter 19, it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Elijah had just destroyed the prophets of Baal. God had delivered them into his hand. And what happens? Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. God had just delivered those prophets unto him and slain him. And here we see one person threatens his life and he's scared. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Scared. Ran away. A witness to the power of God. How quickly we forget, brethren, how good our God has been to us. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Elijah's about to make a journey. I wonder where he's going to go. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Going back to the rock, brethren. Going back to the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want you to know something. When we come back to the mount of God, the God is here. God's going to speak to you when you come back to the rock, to the mount. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Does it ever feel like that sometimes, you brother, that you're the only one left alone? I want you to know something this morning. When you come to the rock, you're not left alone, brother. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. When this life gets you down, I want you to know you're never alone. The Lord Jesus Christ will never forsake us. He's our friend and a friend indeed. What a friend we have in Jesus this morning. Again, he'll never leave us alone. You're never alone. But it feels like that sometimes. Sometimes this old life makes us feel like that. Then Jesus said, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount. Stand on the rock. Put your feet on the rock before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. You know, I didn't know what that part of the verse meant right there. Did a little more study. It says, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. I didn't know what that meant. The Lord was not in the wind. You look back through the Old Testament, through God. God has spoke to his prophets and his children many different ways. He spoke to Job out of a whirlwind. He spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. And when he came down on Mount Sinai, it trembled and quaked. And he spoke to it. He spoke to Abraham out of a burning bush, out of the fire. But it says he didn't speak to Elijah that way. How did he speak to Elijah? In a still, small voice. You know, growing up, I played sports a good bit. And I was always impressed with the best coaches I had. Didn't talk to every player they had the same way. They figured out how they could talk to that player, how to get the most and the best out of it. You know, if a man can do that, how much greater is our God? You know, this is just a small verse and doesn't really apply to what I'm speaking about this morning, but it was significant enough to me. I wanted to share it with you this morning. God knows what you need. God knows how to talk to us. Elijah might not have needed it out of the wind or the earthquake or the fire. Maybe Elijah needed that still small voice. Maybe he needed that gentleness.
Some of God's children need a little gentleness.
But after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? What you doing here, Elijah? What you scared of? Don't you know who I am?" And he said again, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said, "All right, Elijah." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Azazel to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." Once you know, when we return to the mount of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we get some good news. We get some reassurances. We get some blessings. When we come back to our refuge, I want you to know we're renewed. You look at what he did for Elijah. He fed him. He let him rest. He let him sleep. He brought him to the mount. He let him complain a little bit. But then he said, "All right, Elijah, that's enough. It's time to go. I got work for you to do." Brethren, we need to come here. We need to seek refuge in the cleft of the rock, because we need that. But I want you to know, when we leave the rock, I say the Lord Jesus Christ has got some work for us to do in this old world. We're supposed to be in a light out there. We're supposed to be in a force for good. We're supposed to be living the ways that Lord Jesus Christ told us to live in. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. We're supposed to be building one another up, exhorting one another. We're supposed to be living the life that Jesus Christ would have us live. And when we run out, I want you to know we can always come back to Master's store. We can always come back here. We can always seek the place of refuge again. His love is unlimited. His forgiveness is unlimited. His blessings are unlimited. When we get out in this old world and we get tired and we get weary, I want you to know there's a place of refuge for God's children in this world. It's His church. It's the mount, the rock. And you'll see this with Jacob, with Elijah. They went back to the rock, back to the mount of God, where their blessings came from. Let's turn to Matthew now. Verse 69. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also it was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Another one of God's children had witnessed all the miracles and all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, had walked and lived and talked and seen all these things. You think Peter was scared? I tell you what, I'd have been scared. If I'd have witnessed what they just did to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'd have been scared. I'd have been worse than Peter. But what does it say? Now, Peter was sorrowful, but it said he remembered. He was reminded. Now, he might not have been flown back to a mount or to a physical place, a rock, but I want you to know he remembered something about a rock. The rock of our salvation, he remembered. He remembered who he had just denied three times. And he wept bitterly and he felt sorry. And he cried. But you know what Jesus did? Sometimes when you can't get to the rock comes to you. Jesus came back to Peter once in the scripture and said, Brother Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Isn't that wonderful? For every time that Peter denied Christ, Jesus gave him an opportunity to repute that three times. Just as he denied him three times, he gave him a chance to acknowledge him three times. I want you to understand, when we fall in this life, we're going to fall. But with the help and the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, I want you to know there's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity to do better. There's always an opportunity with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth and do what He told us to do. Every time we fall, there's a chance to get up with His help. And He is our help in times of trouble. He's our help in times of distress. He is our refuge. When we fall, He's our refuge. When we don't know where to go, when we don't know what to do, I want you to know there's a place to come, a safe harbor, a fair haven, where we can come and listen to the things of God and learn what He would have us do. We have a refuge in this life. We have a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You know, I think old Brother David said it probably best. You will turn with me to 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 1. It says, And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. And they that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. You think David knew who his strength and who his refuge was? He says, and he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. You notice that? The God of my rock. You think old David knew something about Jesus Christ? I think God had revealed a few things to him. He says, The God of my rock. Who's our rock? Jesus Christ, who's His God, God the Father. It says, the God of my rock, and Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And He did hear my voice out of His temple. Out of His temple. I want you to know you're in His temple this morning. He said He hears the cries of those that He loves. He hears the cries of His children. And my cry did enter into His ears. I want you to know you are precious to the Lord. He hears your prayers.
He sees your tears. And He is able to deliver us in this life. And I tell you what, He's delivered us in the next already. We don't have to worry about that. Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of that for us. But I want you to know there's a deliverance in this life. There's a deliverance and a refuge in this life in seeking and doing those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has set us forth to do. And you get tired and you're weary. He's left us this place to come and rest. Eat. Hear all the good things He's done for us. You have a refuge in this life. You have a refuge in the completed work of Jesus Christ this morning. I feel secure. My hope stands assured this morning that He completed all that He set forth to do when He came on this earth. What did He come to do? Seek and save that which was lost. Now, if He didn't do that, He died in vain. We do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ died in vain. Completed work. We could have refuge in that. But we have a place. We have a place of refuge. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey this morning. We got young people. We got old people. I don't know if you're a little scholar. Just searching for the truth this morning. But I can tell you, come to the schoolhouse. You can learn of loving Jesus and His perfect holy truth. And if you'll keep doing that, and the Lord pricks your heart, sheds His grace upon you, and informs Him of His Spirit. And you can say, yeah, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Then little Christian, come and learn why the Lord hath made you so. Learn why you're a new creature. Oh, the wonders He can do. Maybe you're an old soldier of the cross that's been sitting in that pew for years. And every day, the sweet word of Jesus Christ just gets sweeter and sweeter. Maybe you're that old soldier. You need to come to the armory. You need to sharpen that sword of truth. You need to polish that shield of faith so you can fight in many battles. And Lord, we're going to have to fight in many more. But then you can also come, old soldier of Christ, and find out that when this warfare is over, we're going to lay this armor down. I want you to know we're going to fly away to Jesus. And we're going to put on that starry ground that He's reserved for us. Yes, sir. No matter what stage in life you are, whatever stage, journey, spiritual journey you're on this morning, I want you to know you're still going to need refuge. You're still going to need to come back to the rock. Because that's where your blessings come from. You need to be reminded of those blessings. And just for a little bit longer this morning, I want to remind you of a few of them. Brethren, do you know who you are? Sister, do you know who you are? Brother Joe saying that, you assume that we could forget who we are. You can. You get old enough, you can forget sometimes who you are. Sometimes spiritually we forget who we are. In James it says if we're only hearers and not doers of the word, we're likened to a man that beholdeth himself a mirror. And I'm paraphrasing, y'all forgive me. And when he walks away, he forgetteth what manner of man he is.
If we're not doing, if we're not seeking refuge, if we're not seeking Lord Jesus Christ and we get out of this life, sometimes you forget who you are. But that's all right. We're here today to be reminded. I want to remind you of who you are. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 18, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of the living God, of God." That's who you are. "And if children, then heirs." You are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." You are sons and daughters of the living God. That's who you are. That's who we ought to be acting like. What else do you need to be reminded of? Now, if you're an heir of the living God, I want you to know something else. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You are free this morning. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God. And you are free from the laws of sin and death. You are free from the condemnation of those laws. From the penalty. You're free. And if you're free, what do we do? You're a child of God. You're free. Heaven's going to be your home one day. What are we doing? Well, we wait. What are we waiting for? I'm waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. That's what we're doing. Do we know He's coming back? Yes, sir. We know He's coming back because He said He would. He said He would. You will now turn with me to 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Peter wanted to remind the children of God of a few things. I want to call you to remembrance. We seek our refuge, brother. We're here in our refuge. We need to be reminded of a few things. "That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming?" You know, the longer we go, you know, the more scoffers come. People today out there right now laughing at us. That's okay. They can laugh. I'm still going to wait. He said He was coming back. "Saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Nothing's happening. Everything's going on. Sun's still coming up. Sun's coming down. Lord Jesus Christ ain't coming back. That's what they say. He's coming back. "For this they willingly are ignorant of." Willingly. "That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and then in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." But beloved, who's he talking to now? You. He's talking to you, child of God. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, for us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance." The Lord is long-suffering. He's going to come back. Just as soon as every born-again child of God is here, has been born again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's coming back, brethren. He said He would. Don't worry about what's being said in this old world. Days come and days go, but it says one day is 1,000 years to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about these things. He's promised us. I want you to know something. If He's promised us something, it's going to happen. His promises are immutable. Do you know that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 16, 6. Chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. God made a promise to Abraham. He swore it by himself, because there's no greater that he could swear by himself. Lord Jesus, the Lord God said, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after Abraham had patiently waited, he obtained the promise. I want you to know, sometimes we've got to be patient, but God's promise will happen. I want you to know, when God promises something, it's going to happen. He promised He was coming back. He's coming back for you, brethren. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. You ever had somebody ask you to do something, and you say, I'm going to do it. And then they say, do you swear? Do you promise? I say, yes, I promise. That's, you give them the promise, you give them the oath, that's usually the end of it, right? It's the end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, unchangeable, confirmed it by an oath. Now God has already decreed it, but He says by these two immutable things, by His counsel and by His oath, He has promised us these things. He didn't just decree it. That should have been good enough. But He said to abundantly to the heirs of promise prove to Him. He said it by His heirs of His promise, immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, by these two immutable things, that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, brothers and sisters, because God had said He was. God promised it. He swore it by His counsel, by His oath, by His decree. And in that promise, we can have strong consolation. Strong consolation. I want you to know the hope we have in the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ is not wishful thinking this morning. It's hope. It's patiently waiting for God to do what He promised He would do. And we need to come back to His house. We need to come back to the rock. We need to be reminded of those things. So we go out into this world and we fight. And we toil and with tribulation, we can have comfort and consolation in knowing that this isn't all there is. that the troubles and the trials of this life are nothing compared to what shall be revealed into us by the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And always. I don't know why I always end that with this morning. It's always. Everything that God done is always and forever. It's immutable. Unchangeable. I hope this morning you have found a little comfort, a little consolation. I hope this morning this has been a refuge for you to rest your mere weary, tired, troubled minds. I know everybody's got something. But I want you to know we have refuge. We have consolation. We have comfort. You know, I said, how did Jacob sleep on a rock? And I said, it depends on the rock. I want you to know you can sleep on this rock. It's the best rock in the world to sleep on. It's comfortable. It's better than any pillow you're going to get. The rest we have in the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, brother. It's a good rest. It's a sweet rest. We've got rest in Him. We've got rest in His truth. Let's rest in that. But let's not sit on it. Let's go out and be doers of this word. Let's go out and do good. Not in order to get Him to love us. Because we are His. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Thank you for your good attention this morning. We'll say that the doors of Union Church are open for the reception of members if any sees fit to come forth and seek refuge in the rock. Got a number, Brother Joe?
204. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep. And lost in the path to the goal. And sorrow sometimes round they creep. Like tempest down over the soul. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I.
Let me say again in regards to what Brother Doug said.